Here's Pastor Brian as he begins this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. In our programs last week, we looked at the doctrine of baptism and refuted the idea that baptism is necessary for salvation. We are in the midst of analyzing the key passages which are used to support this false doctrine, which are Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16, John chapter 3 and verse 5, and Acts 22 verse 16. And Acts 2:38 is one of the key passages where Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Certain groups want to use this passage to teach that baptism is that which brings about the remission of sins. And if you're not baptized with that purpose in mind, then you're truly not born again or a follower of Jesus Christ. The Boston Church of Christ is one of the examples of such a group, which is making inroads in many communities. For the next 2 days, we'll be looking at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, since it is such an important passage on this topic. Then for the rest of the week, we'll continue to study all the other issues which relate to this subject. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 reads this way: "There is also an antitype which now saves us, namely baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." And as one reads this passage, it can appear that Peter is saying that baptism actually saves the individual from the statement which he says, which now saves us, namely baptism. And this is the way many of these groups take this passage to say that, see, baptism is the thing which saves. Now, to refute this point, we need to look at two things. First of all, we need to look at the meaning of the term antitype here in the verse, as well as then look at Peter's explanation, which is right in the verse, of what he's trying to communicate. So first of all, let's look at what does this word antitype mean. We need to try and discover what it meant to the original hearers in the first century. And the term is translated in other versions like figure. The Greek word is antitupon, which here in the New King James is translated antitype, and means a corresponding type according to Vine. And there's two related words. There's the word type, which referred to a seal, and the word antitype, which referred to the impression the seal made. And the point is that there's a relationship between the seal and the impression that it makes on the paper. They relate to one another in a certain way. They're not the same thing, but they are similar. That's why Thayer, in his lexicon, gives a definition for this Greek word, a thing resembling another, just the way the impression on the piece of paper resembles the actual seal. Kenneth Wiest, in his commentary on 1 Peter, writes the following: "The word figure is a translation of antitupon, which means the counterpart of reality. That is, water baptism is the counterpart of reality, salvation. It could only save as a counterpart, not actually. The Old Testament sacrifices were counterparts of reality, the Lord Jesus. They did not actually save the believer, only in type. The point is that there's the reality, which is salvation, and there's the picture of it, which is baptism." I believe that this could be made even clearer from the other passage in the New Testament where this word antitype appears, which is in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, which reads, "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies," and that's the Greek term antitupon, "of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." So the New King James translates this word as copies. On earth, in the temple, in the sacrificial system, you had a copy of what was in heaven. It wasn't heaven itself. It wasn't the reality. It was a picture, or it resembled heaven. And that's what Peter's getting at here when he uses the term baptism as an antitype. It's something that which resembles salvation. And the obvious point is that you have a reality, and then you have a copy of it. Just like a painting is a copy of the real thing, but it's not the real thing itself. And so Peter's trying to draw out that baptism is a copy of salvation. So the second question that we have to answer is, how is baptism a copy or type of salvation? The point here is, in the context, is that you have two things that relate to water. Peter starts talking about Noah and the flood there from verses 18 through 22. And then he brings up the subject of baptism. So actually you have two pictures here. Noah, who is rescued from the flood, and then he ties baptism to that point. And what he's saying here is that baptism does not correspond in every way or in every detail or in all respects to salvation, but that it is similar. There's a resemblance in some way between the one, salvation, and baptism. For example, there's a resemblance between Christ and that of Isaac being offered as a sacrifice on the altar by his father Abraham. or between him and the sacrifices of the Old Testament, such as the Passover lamb and the scapegoat. There's a similarity there, but they're not the same thing. So the point is to try and understand the connection between the two, not that baptism is actually the thing that produces salvation. Albert Barnes, in his commentary on the book of 1 Peter, says the following insightful words. He says, "No man can be saved without that regenerated and purified heart of which baptism is the appropriate symbol." And so here the point is baptism is a symbol of salvation. In order to understand this more clearly, I think Romans chapter 6, verse 4 and 5 are necessary to be read at this point, which read, "Therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." And so here you have baptism as a symbol of that miraculous event of our relationship with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that's why immersion is the best mode for baptizing a believer, because it pictures a watery grave. As individuals lowered into the grave, it shows that they're identifying themselves with the death of Christ. But then also when they're lifted up out of the water, it's a symbol of the resurrection. Now, and from that point, then they're to walk in newness of life. And that seems to be Peter's point in the context here, that baptism is a symbol of salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection. And then we are to walk in the newness of life. So it's a type or a symbol or a copy of the resurrection of Jesus Christ as related to the example of Noah, who endured the waters and came forth out of the waters, or a type of enduring God's judgment and then resurrecting just as Jesus Christ did from the grave. Or others see it's a type of going down into the water and then coming up out of the water, a clear picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And if you think about this thought with me, as you read the New Testament, the only other option from this passage is not to look at baptism as a symbol, but to look at it as that which actually produces salvation or brings about the cleansing of sin. Now think with me for a minute. As you read the New Testament, especially in the writings of the Apostle Paul, what is the one thing that he argues against over and over again? And that is that somebody obeying some ritual or observing the law is the thing which produces salvation. And in the setting of the New Testament, circumcision was often discussed, as well as the Old Testament rituals. So the entire New Testament speaks against someone participating in a ritual which brings about salvation. It's through the grace of God and not by our works. Now others take a different approach of understanding 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, and say Peter's really not talking about entering into salvation, but sanctification. And we'll look at that tomorrow in our study as we offer another alternative explanation of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. One other point that needs to be mentioned here at this point is that when Peter is referring to baptism, he's not referring to an individual's baptism, but he's using baptism in general as a picture of something. So he's not saying when the individual is baptized, that brings about salvation. What he's saying here is let's look at baptism and what it communicates. I mentioned that there's two ways to refute the idea that this passage teaches that baptism is necessary for salvation. The first was to look at this word antitype and its meaning. The second is just to continue to read on in the verse and look at Peter's own explanation of his words, where he mentions baptism, then he describes what he means, where he says, "Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." So Peter here is not saying it's not the individual that's baptized and has their body cleansed or the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God, which would be that place where we're putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And that's why he adds through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the key idea is that the saving is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and not through the removal of the filth of the flesh in the act of baptism. It also needs to be pointed out in this verse that Peter mentions, "but the answer of a good conscience towards God." That word answer is translated either pledge or appeal. And what it's referring to is what Millard Erickson points out in his work in his systematic theology. He defines the term answer or appeal to mean the following. An appeal to God is the act of faith where one acknowledges dependence upon him and the resurrection. The basis of salvation is the resurrection. So here Peter says it's not the act of baptism that brings about salvation, but when someone appeals or answers or responds to God by putting their faith in Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And people need to understand that the resurrection is part of the gospel. Without the resurrection, there would be no salvation. As Paul points out in two places, one in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, where he writes, speaking of Jesus, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because or for our justification. He says the same thing in 1 Corinthians 15, 17, where he says, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. So our salvation is tied to our faith in Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Even Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says the following, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So here even Peter ties us being born again to this living hope that we have through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's absolutely clear that Peter is not saying that baptism is that which produces salvation, but is the response to God and what he has done through Jesus Christ in the death, burial, and resurrection. That's where our confidence needs to be. One final point before we finish here is we should allow the Apostle Peter to interpret himself. So when you come to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and he says, repent and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, you could use 1 Peter 3:21 to help interpret what he means. Obviously, Peter should be the one who knows what he meant when he communicated those truths. And it's clear in this verse, when he refers to salvation, again, he says it's not the removal of the filth of the flesh or water baptism which saves. There's an excellent principle that we need to follow when we're interpreting the Bible, and that's let Scripture interpret Scripture. Or in this case, let Peter interpret Peter. And Peter says here, it's not the act of baptism, it's not the rite of baptism that saves, but it's our faith and trust in Christ and through his resurrection. In our study tomorrow, we will come back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, and look at other ways in which this passage has been interpreted to refute the idea that baptism is necessary for salvation.